Hallelujah. What a blessing. John chapter number 8 this morning. Turn me up just a little bit, boys, just a tad. John chapter number 8. My, I don't know where the preacher just run laps around the building. Amen. You know, after a Super Bowl win or a World Series win, or after a Kentucky Derby win or some big sporting event, you know what they do? They celebrate. I think celebration probably be in order. I'm not talking about popping a cork or a top. But we ought to pop a cork in our heart this morning. Amen. Just worship a mighty and a living God for what He's done. Listen, He didn't do this. I'll get to the message in a minute. He did not do this week among the elite. He did not do this week among the religious who's who. He came in the midst of a bunch of nobodies and began to do a work in somebody. Somebody ought to help me this morning. Some of y'all had family get saved and you're sitting there like a knot on the log. Some of y'all had kids miss hell this week and you're sitting there like it's just another Sunday. It ain't just another Sunday. We went to spiritual battle this week and wrought a great victory through Christ. We ought to be topping trees this morning. Amen. John chapter number 8. If y'all help me, we'd have church today. Amen. John chapter number 8, verse number 1. The Bible said Jesus went about the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, He came into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. We read the words, but I wish we could really visualize what's going on there with the Lord. And when it said that all the people came, I don't think this was just a little entourage. I think it was a mob. Because He had something that they wanted. Stay with me, I may never get to the message. People are going in every direction today to try to find what they need and what they want. But the answer is still in Jesus Christ. Oprah don't have it. Dr. Phil don't have it. It's not in a pill. It's not in a bottle. And you sure can't roll it up and smoke it this morning. Can't shoot it in your veins. You can't vacation it away. You can't buy it away. Hey, what we want and what we have need of this morning is still in Christ Jesus. Amen. Am I right about it this morning? The Bible said in verse number 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman. Watch the next three words. Taken in adultery. They brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. It's not looking good already, is it? The Bible said, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. Watch this. In the very act. I don't want to get graphic this morning, but that's pretty plain English right there. The scribes and the Pharisees have caught this woman. We'll talk about them just a little bit more in a minute. They've caught this woman, the Bible says, in the very act of adultery. In other words, they walked in on it while it was going on. I can only think of one word right there. Guilty. Without question. Guilty. This is not hearsay. This is not he said, she said. This wasn't something they got on Facebook. They said, Master, we caught her in the very act of adultery. They said unto Him, now in verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They don't care what he thinks. They don't care what happens to her. I got to be careful. I'm going to get ahead of myself. They reminded him. Can you imagine quoting scripture to Jesus? Can you imagine trying to tell Jesus, the author, what the Bible said? And this is what they said. I can see their little arms crossed and their pointed noses. Well, you know the Bible says. I ain't sure where it's at, but somewhere the Bible says. I get that all the time. Don't it say somewhere in the Bible? That's what they're pulling on him. The devil tried that in Matthew chapter number 4. Didn't fare for him too well either. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they confronted asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto him, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground twice. And they which heard it, being, what's the next word? Convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw no one but but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, I like this. This is God in the flesh. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you, God, for a good day. Thank you for the great singing. Lord, thank you for all you've done in our midst. God, I'm still just blown away by it, Father, and just want to bless your name this morning. Bless your word. Touch us and use us for a few minutes to help somebody, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to preach to you just for a few minutes on this thought this morning. Guilty. Guilty as charged. Have you ever been guilty as charged? Somebody help me right there. Have you ever been accused of something? Brother Jeremiah was singing a while ago about the old accuser, reminding him of his past. And you know what he had to say? Yep, you're right. Guilty is charged. On March the 22nd in 1824, there was an incident known as the Fall Creek Massacre. It took place in Madison County, Indiana. 6 white men murdered 9 Native Americans from the Seneca tribe and wounded another. Among the 9 dead were 3 women and 4 children. The 6 men were arrested, tried, and sentenced to death. One of the young men was named John Bridge Jr. He was sentenced to die by hanging for his part in the massacre. His execution was set for June the 3rd, 1825. His father, John Bridge Sr., and his uncle, Andrew Sawyer, were also to die on the same day. As a large crowd gathered to witness the execution, they were expecting the governor to pardon all the accused. But there was no sign, however, from the governor. A sermon was preached, and the crowd waited expectantly. John Bridge Jr., along with the others, watched as his father and uncle were hanged. Finally, they brought John Jr. to the gallows, laid the rope around his neck. As the hangman waited for the signal, far in the back of the crowd, a cheer arose, and a man came forward on his horse. The stranger looked up at the condemned man and said, Mr. Bridge, do you know in whose presence you stand. Young John Jr. simply shook his head no. The stranger looked at the convicted young man who was about to be hanged for murder. He looked at him and he said, there are but two powers known to the law that can save you from hanging by the neck until you are dead, dead, dead. He said, one is the great God of the universe. He said, the other is J. Brown Ray, governor of the state of Indiana. He said, the latter stands before you. In other words, it was the governor who came forward. As the governor handed the hangman a written pardon, the governor announced to John Jr., sir, you are free. What a statement. Sir, you are free. Pardon. Exemption. You're free to go. Not that your case has been tried and lack of evidence found or circumstantial evidence or evidence tampered with or jury tampering or any of these things that could get a case thrown out. What the judge or the governor said, you are guilty. But by the power vested in me, I set you free. Can you imagine the delight in that young man's heart? He wasn't facing probation or community service. He had just watched his daddy and his uncle swing from the gallows. Oh, it's not pretty like lethal injection where you just go to sleep. No, your head turns blue and your tongue swells outside your mouth and you look like a monster. He had just witnessed that. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, not because of anything he had said, not because anything he had done or any right he had earned, but yet in the good grace of the governor, he rode forward in the nick of time and said, your pardon. In an instant, what appeared to be a hopeless situation for John Bridge Jr. became a door of hope. He went back home, settled down, opened a dry goods store, and died peacefully 51 years later. I told you that story to ask you this. Can you imagine the fear in that boy's heart? Can you imagine that kind of, you say, oh yeah, I can. No, you can't. I don't know of anybody in this room who has ever been found guilty of any crime worthy of death and was that close. The hangman had his hand on the lever. The next sound in that boy's life, in his mind, is the thud of that door dropping out from under his feet. And him becoming dead just like his dad and his uncle that he had just saw minutes before. Can you imagine that fear? Knowing in your heart, like the thief by Jesus at Calvary, we deserve this. We murdered those women and children because of the color of their skin. Don't die on me. Guilty. Guilty. Listen, when you're innocent and accused, there's always hope. Are you listening? But when you're guilty and you know it, and judgment is coming, there's a fear in that thing. I remember as a child being guilty of something and praying mama didn't find out. I can remember her coming home from work, Jeremiah, and just and she didn't know, but my conscience did. And I'd go to my room and hide or go to my treehouse or go to the barn and I'm thinking, she knows. Oh, no, she knows, she knows. It was a fear. Not of dying, but of wishing I was dead. There was a fear of an old-fashioned circle dance with a long hickory, which culminated in stripes up and down my legs. Some of you brats ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. I would like to illustrate that for some of you. Can you imagine the fear in this young man's heart? Now, in our story, in our text this morning, in the Bible, we read the story of a woman who was just as guilty as that young man about to be hanged for murder. Her situation, I would say, Brother Freddie, was a little more grim than a man being hanged on the gallows. Would you? Now, you got to get the picture in your mind. Here's Jesus. He's sitting in the temple. And what's he doing? There's a multitude around him and he's teaching. What's he teaching them? Amen. The Bible. What portion of it they had. He's sitting in the temple. There is a mob of people around him. Now get this in your mind, if you will. All of a sudden, to the rear, there's a commotion. And these voices of men loudly shouting, "Hey, hey, 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 we have a problem." And dragging by the hands and maybe the feet or the hair of the head, they've got this little lady. And they drag her and they drop her at the feet of the Lamb of God. And they said, "Here she is. We have caught this woman in the very act of adultery." In the very act. There was more than one. So this was at the mouth of more than two witnesses. However many they were, we know they left from the eldest to the least. I don't know how many, but I imagine evil always comes in numbers. I don't think it was one or two. I think there's a pretty good little group of them. And they brought this woman and laid her at the feet of Jesus. And even in her ears, they remind him what Moses and the law said. Can you imagine the fear in her heart? There's no excuses. There's no getting out of it. Sometimes we find ourselves in a position like that because of our sin. There's no excuse. There's no getting out of it. All we can do is face the music. And here she is to face the music. She is standing. She doesn't know it, but she's standing before the judge of heaven and earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. They're trying to mess him up. Now in her mind, "I'm caught. The law said I'm to be stoned." Now I can't imagine being hanged, but studying it, that's over pretty quick. Snap your neck, you're done. But can you imagine being stoned to death? Can you imagine tying you up to that wall and us throwing rocks at you till you're dead? I've heard some say that they built a scaffolding and dropped rocks on you. I don't know how it went. Maybe they did it many different ways. Still brings about the desired result. Nevertheless, here's what I'm trying to, the point I want you to get this morning. She was guilty. She was guilty. Let me just say it again. She was guilty. Now this woman's story can speak to our heart today if we'll let it. Oh, we don't want to put ourselves on her level. We're too religious. We're too churchy for that. We don't want to say, "Oh yeah, now I was a sinner, but not like that." Somebody better help me this morning. "Oh yeah, yeah, I realize I was a sinner, but I wasn't like that. Oh, I might have been bad, but oh, I had nothing in common with her." You may have more in common with her this morning than you think. Jesus said, "A man look on a woman to lust committed adultery already in his heart." I got an idea. I'm sitting in a room full of adulterers. Didn't get many men to say amen. We okay? I got a feeling there's some right down there where she was. Here's what her story teaches us. Some of you want to argue with me? Don't waste your time. This story teaches us, Brother Jason, that there's not a sinner too far gone. Let me say it again. There's not a sinner too far gone. Somebody asked me this the other day. I mean, point blank in my face, asked me this question. My child is a homosexual. Can they be saved? I said, did you get saved? Boy, it got quiet. I'm watching some of you squirm. Did you get saved? Yeah, but I wasn't a homosexual. The story teaches us that no sinner's too far gone. It teaches us that no one's guilt runs too deep. People come in here all the time telling me, oh, preacher, if you only knew my past. It's like you're in competition to see who had the worst past. Let me tell you something. If your past is under the blood, I don't care what it is. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. Hey, thank God love covers all sin. Teaches us that none of our guilt is too deep. Her story teaches us, watch this, that no one is beyond the grasp or the reach of the grace of God. Sometimes I think we need to crawl off our religious high horse. Come down out of our ivory tower. Step out of our glass house and realize that we did not deserve what we got. And if we had realized how undeserving we are of what we have, we might be a little bit more thankful for it. Amen. Each and every day. Yes, sir. I want to show you a couple of things and we'll go to the house. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning in our story, the sinner and her guilt. The sinner and her guilt. I read the entire story from the start to the finish of it, all we have of it. And not one time, Brother Freddie, not once did this woman play our card. I didn't do anything. Me? She never made an excuse. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I think she could have. I think she could have said, Brother Joey, I was set up. Absolutely. Yeah. I was tricked. But she didn't open her mouth. You know why? She knew what she was. Do you know you ain't never going to get what you need from God? Do you realize what you are? Let me say that one more time. Do you realize you will never receive from God what you need in your heart and in your life till you realize what you are? You say, well, preacher, tell me what I am. Guilty. She was guilty. The Bible said that they caught her in the very act of adultery. Women who were found guilty of adultery in the Bible were stoned. Probably in further studies, maybe she was not a married woman, but she might have been an espoused or an engaged woman. Married woman, they strangled. But she was to be stoned until she was dead. Guilty. That was the judgment. It was already pre-decided. Did you know the Bible said in John chapter number 3 that we are or were condemned already? The judgment on sin, it's not something to be passed in the future. It's been passed already. The question is, has the judgment been carried out yet? You can rest assured sooner or later it will. The soul that sinneth, the Bible said, it shall surely die. Amen. The Bible said, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. Now, no doubt there's some sitting here this morning going, I've never committed adultery. Here's what we do when we start talking about sin. We want our mind automatically goes to what we ain't done. Mine does. I read that story myself and I think, well, I ain't never committed adultery. I ain't never killed nobody. And I thought about it. So have you. Now, I've thought about it seriously. Amen. We want to think about what we haven't done. Listen to me. It's not what we haven't done that condemns our life. It's what we have done. We see the sinner and her sin. She was guilty. Let me just say, by the way, I'm not making light of adultery. Do you understand that? I'm not. It's a sin. Oh, we're living in a world that wants to paint it up and dress it up and call it an affair. I used to watch a show that was very wholesome when I was growing up. It was called A Family Affair. Y'all remember that? Buffy and Jody and Mr. French. Wasn't that the name of that? Somebody help me. Family Affair. Very wholesome show. Buffy had a little doll named Miss Beasley. Y'all remember that? Wholesome show. But yet now they dirty up that word affair. Having an affair necessarily by definition of the word is not a bad thing. But adultery is. Somehow it just rolls off the tongue better as affair. It doesn't sound near as dirty and it doesn't sound near as vile and bad. Are you listening? I don't care what you call it. I don't care how you disguise it, how you dress it, what kind of clothes you put on it, what kind of perfume. It still stinks in the nose of God. I just thought I'd clarify that. I don't want to say, oh, adultery's okay. No, it's not okay. It breaks the law of God. It violates the marriage vows. It breaks the hearts and destroys families. It cheapens the marital bed. It destroys trust. It shatters dreams. It's horrible, evil, and inexcusable, and it should never happen. But it does. I thought I'd just throw that in. I'm afraid somebody would be sitting there, oh yeah, brother, he's just let anything go. No, no, no. That's not the meaning of the message. The meaning of the message is to understand that like this little lady, we too are guilty of sin. As horrible as the sin of adultery is, it is no worse in the eyes of God than any other sin, according to James chapter number 2 and verse number 10. We want to categorize it. Now, of course, different sins have more severe punishment outwardly. But in the heart of God, it's still sin. You may steal a piece of bubble gum at the grocery store. Now, you may do like I've done. Eat a grape or two. I didn't realize I'm talking about saved, being your pastor. Walking through the store, eating them grapes. Irresistible. They in my buggy. I'm going to pay for them. But then they weigh them. I'm like, I done ate 4 pounds. Lay a stem up there. How about that? There's sins we commit that nobody will ever know but us and God. But then there's some sin that is easily exposed and it has great consequences. Does that mean one sin's greater than the other? No. We're all guilty of sin. Would you agree? The Bible said in Romans chapter number 3, I'm just going to read you some scripture this morning. You can do with it what you want. The Bible said, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible said their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Here's a statement I'm trying to make. We're all sinners. And we're all as guilty as this one brought before Jesus. Are y'all okay? You say, but preacher, we've had a great revival this week. Doesn't change the fact what we are. Still sinners. Thank God, Brother Jason, sinners saved by grace. I'm afraid a lot of times, church people, God help them, they become like those scribes and Pharisees. They want to come dragging up somebody else's downfall. They want to drag up somebody else's dilemma. And they want to say, here, come here. I want you to look at him. Maybe if you're looking at him, your focus won't be on me. Maybe if I can magnify Jason's sin, mine will look a whole lot less. People used to talk about how bad my past was around here till Jason came. Somebody said, boy, they sure talk about Jason a lot. Thank God I'm getting a break. Amen. Are y'all all right? Oh, isn't that how we do? Isn't that how we do? We don't want to look at our own sin, but we don't mind magnifying somebody else's. We don't mind blowing up somebody else on Facebook. Just don't attack me. We're all guilty. I'm guilty. You're guilty. Godliest man I know is guilty. Guilty of what, preacher? Sin. Sin. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. I know you've sinned. And I'm not, you may not have got drunk last night. You may not have closed the bar down. You might not have been there for last call for alcohol. But you a sinner. You might not have stepped out on your wife last week, but you a sinner. Are we all right? You may not have rolled a doobie this week, but you a sinner. You might not have shot methamphetamines in your veins, but you a sinner. You may not have ripped off your neighbor, but you a sinner. Well, we see the sinner in her guilt. But then I want you to notice, I got to hurry. I got a whole lot more of this. I want you to notice the woman and her shame. The woman and her shame. How many of you have ever been really ashamed of yourself? Really ashamed of yourself. To the point it made you want to vomit. Am I the only one in here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You did something you can't undo. Words can't fix it. A letter can't fix it. An action or an act of kindness can't fix it. I'm sorry just don't seem near big enough. And you just in shame. I remember the first time I came before Jesus. That's how I stood. I stood in shame. I remember getting caught for something in the second grade. Forgot what it was, but I had to go to the principal's office. And I stood there in his office with tears dripping down my face. And OMT Fuller looked at me and said, look at me. And I couldn't. That's an automatic admission of guilt. He said, look at me, boy. I was ashamed because of what I'd done. He said, you think you're cute, don't you? I said, no, sir, my mama made me wear these checkered pants. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I didn't know what he meant. He said, you think you're cute. That was the last thing mama said. Oh, it's cute. Checkered pants ain't cute, ain't never been cute. I'm still scarred. Still have emotional issues over them checkered pants. Checkered belongs on flannel, amen. And NASCAR flags, nowhere else. I stood there in my shame because I knew that I was guilty. They said, "We've caught her in the very act." You know what she said? She didn't say nothing. She didn't say a word, Brother Freddie. You know why? She couldn't. Amen. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit get you in such a place where you couldn't say nothing? Yes, amen. There was no but, no. Amen. There you were alone before God with your guilt and your shame. Sin is always a shameful thing. Listen, I'm going to try to hurry this morning. That's why it's done in darkness. I ain't been in a whole lot of bars, but I ain't never been in a brightly lit one. I've never been in one where I thought, "Wow, man, I wish they'd dim them lights in here." I've been in bars where you're going, "Hey, is that you?" Not because you drank too much. It's dark. It's because men love darkness rather than light. Why do you think most crime is committed at night? Because they're ashamed of what they're doing. If you're not ashamed of what you're doing, do it out in front of everybody. It's shameful when it's being committed. It's shameful even when it's in the heart. That's where it starts. Any sin. It's shameful when it's in the flesh. It's shameful when it's done in open. It's shameful when it's done in secret. How long has it been since you've been ashamed? How long has it been since, I'm talking about as a Christian, you stood before God and said, "I am so ashamed. I'm so ashamed." Have you ever been too ashamed to pray? Am I by myself? We need to get my mama used to say this all the time. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Anybody's mama ever tell you that? Oh, yeah. Let your preacher tell you this morning. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. The way we act and the way we treat one another and the things we say and the things we do. Oh, you may not have been in somebody else's bed last week. Oh, you may not have got drunk. You may not have a hangover this morning. You may not be peeled up this morning. But yet we still ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Right. Somebody said, "Preacher, we just had a great revival." I ain't letting up.
Amen.
I'm going to hunker down. How long has it been since you just been ashamed of yourself, where you didn't even want to look up? No matter how skillfully sin is hidden from the eyes of others, Jesus knows all about it. Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, the Bible said, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." He knows. You ain't got nothing hid before God. We see the woman in her sin, the woman in her shame, the woman in her sentence. The woman in her sentence. I'm not going to go through all this, but listen, her sentence was death. Jesus didn't pass her sentence, it was passed already. Those scribes and Pharisees, you know what they were? Her accusers, you know what they were? They were right. I didn't say their motives were, but they were right. They were right. You ever been to jail? You don't have to answer that. Yeah, you ever been to jail? You go to the prisons and preach? Now, I was told when I first went to prison, don't ask nobody what they're here for. But I've been told you get the same answer. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. I didn't do nothing. That's why they got you in a cage. They just found you with a smoking gun in your hand. I know you didn't do nothing. You was trying to revive the fella. the woman and her sentence was death. According to Leviticus chapter number 20, the Bible said, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, and or wife, the adulterer, and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. There's a law. It was a law. When you break a law, you deserve the consequences. Don't get mad when one of our officers up here, I don't know what you call a city policeman, it's not a deputy, but whatever they are, if they pull you over right here for going 45, you deserve a ticket. Once a month, they have a heyday. I'm going to start giving them a surcharge for pulling people over in this parking lot and on the side. They'll have three and four pull over here at one time. They have a ticket-writing carnival every month. I don't feel sorry for none of them. I've been living here all my life. By now, you'd think I'd know it's 35.
Amen.
I'm going to get one of them. If I could have saw who he was, I would. I pulled out of this parking lot going home the other day, and I saw the policeman coming. And I had plenty of time to pull out. Man, I pulled out. He was on me so fast. He's running 70 miles an hour. Oh, I started to get Gomer Pyle and holler, "Citizens, arrest!" Yeah, he was getting it, boy. But anyway, there's a sign out there that big that tells you it's 35 miles an hour. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So when God chastises or punishes for our sin, all we should be able to say is, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." The woman and her sentence. She was guilty, and the men who accused her were correct. She deserved to die because the law of God said so. Would you agree to that? We saw the sinner and her guilt. I'm going to hurry through this. But then there's the solicitors and their guile. Let me tell you something about them scribes and Pharisees. Let me tell you something about a lot of Pharisaical church members. They're not interested in the law. They're not interested in what's right. And they're not interested in what's wrong. Furthermore, they don't care.
That's right. That's right.
They have an agenda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today, in our scripture, these men, Brother Fetty, they had an agenda. It was not about the woman. It wasn't about the man either, because they didn't bring him. Unless he is one of them. Somebody said, "What did Jesus write when he stooped down them two times?" I'm going to get real deep on you here. I ain't got a clue. Neither do you. I'd like to guess. I think maybe he wrote a name. He knew who the man was. Maybe he drew an arrow. He stooped twice. Maybe he drew two. I don't know. It sure got their attention, whatever it was. When people start accusing you, it's not about you. They're trying to elevate themselves above you. When you read them running their mouth on Facebook, why don't you just go to Jesus? Quit letting that affect your joy and your happiness and your life. These people were like so many church members, make me want to puke.
Well, what are you going to do about her? What are you going to do? What am I going to do with you? Oh, if I followed you around for a little while. I could read all your texts and emails. If we could look at them cookies on your computer.
Yeah, come on. Hello, preacher. Come
on. Y'all all right? Ah, oh, but yet we won't do this.
You're right.
That's an age-old thing right there.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Started with Adam.
Yes, sir.
Adam, how'd you know you was naked? Oh, that woman you give me.
That's been my excuse day after day. Amen. Lord, that woman you gave me, amen. The solicitors in their guile, they weren't interested in justice. They weren't interested in what was right or the law or what was wrong. We saw the sinner and her guilt. The solicitors and their guile. But lastly, now I'm done. I want you to see the Savior and His grace. Now let me ask you a question. They reminded Jesus of what Moses said in the law. Stay with me just a second. If you're a brand new Christian, don't feel bad if you don't know the answer to this question. If you've been saved any time, you know. They quoted Jesus, Moses, and the law. Stay with me. Where did Moses get it? Do y'all remember Mount Sinai? Do y'all remember when God gave Moses the law? Do you remember Jesus' statement in Matthew, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? I and my Father are one. They're looking at the one who told Moses what to write. And trying to remind him, well, you said. Basically, that's what they're doing. You said anybody caught in the act of adultery, they'd be stoned. And I imagine Jesus going, I know very well what I said. But things are about to change.
Yeah. Amen.
Things are about to change. Do you think Jesus knew what the law said?
Yeah.
So you know what he did? The Bible said as they brought this woman, he didn't even answer them. He didn't say, now, where were they? Do you have pictures? Video? Be what most of you weirdos would want. You got pictures? You got video? Need to see some proof? Watch me. Watch me. Here's what our Savior did. King of kings, the Lord of lords, the giver of the law. He's got this mob. Can you imagine all these people that are watching this? Thousands. I would just dare to say. Thousands, Brother Charles, wouldn't you? All the people were with him. He was sitting teaching in the temple. They come interrupted the meeting to bring this woman caught in the act of adultery. You know what Jesus did? Watch me. The Bible said he stooped down as though he didn't hear them. Wow. Do you know we still have an accuser today? The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I can imagine Jesus going, la, 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 la. He stooped down. Can you tell when somebody's not paying you any attention? My grandson Jonah, our middle grandson, he's a very serious young man. And when he's talking to you, you will listen. Or you will hear the same thing over and over and over and over till you acknowledge what he's saying. He knows when you're not listening. Papa, papa, papa. Pop, 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 pop. What? Here they are. Master, we caught this woman in the act of adultery. You know what? I don't think he's listening to us. You're right, sir. He's not. He's not paying attention to a word you're saying. Where's his focus? I believe it's on her. The one who can't help herself. The one who's guilty is charged. So Jesus, in the presence of this mob and the presence of these accusers and with this guilty woman standing before him, you know what he does? He stoops down. Watch what he did. He descended. He brought himself lower than the scribes and the Pharisees. He descended below the disciples. He descended below the crowds that had gathered in the temple. He even descended below the guilty woman standing before him. Her accusers had took her down to see her. Now they had to look even lower to see him. Stooping was not a new thing for Jesus. He did this often during his ministry. He stooped to wash the feet of his disciples. He stooped to touch a poor leper, to embrace little children. He stooped to catch Peter when he was sinking in the waves. He stooped to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. He stooped to allow the Roman soldiers to beat him with a cat of nine tails. He stooped to carry the cross to Calvary. He stooped here to ride in the dirt. His stooping is a picture of his grace. Aren't you glad he came down to where you was? He confronts the poor woman. And then he clears her, or cleanses her. You know what he said? Your sins are forgiven. He asked her this question. He said, the only thing he even said to the scribes and the Pharisees is, whoever among you ain't got no sin, you throw the first rock. Help yourself. There she is. She's guilty. But whichever one of you have no sin, you cast the first stone. Boy, it looked like the shame shifted. And they went away one by one till they were all gone. Then Jesus looks at the woman and says, where is your accusers? I have none. You know what he said? Well, I'm not going to condemn you either. He said, in essence, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. You know what that was? That was the same thing that that young man found on the gallows that day. With the noose around his neck, the trap door about to fall, guilty as charged. But yet the governor rode up just in time and said, pardon. How many times have you been pardoned? How many times has God, in your mess, in your sin, stepped in where you were and said, pardon? Guilty? Yes. But I got this one covered. Where's it at? It's under the blood.
That's right.
It's under the blood. I've already paid for that sin.
Amen.
It need not be paid for twice. I've already paid the penalty. I've already paid the price.
Right.
Isn't it amazing how we make ourselves pay for our sin over and over and over again when Jesus has already done it? I bet you they didn't have to tell that boy on that gallows twice to take that rope off and come down. Yet Jesus forgives us and we want to live in the comfort of that noose. When we've been set free. Guilty. Let's stand our feet. Todd, y'all come and get us a song. Guilty. You know, I'm not sure. And I guess it could go either way. I don't know if this message was for somebody needing forgiveness. Or I don't know if it was for somebody who's developed a habit of condemning everybody else. We may find what the scribes and Pharisees did. We need the forgiveness just like she did. Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. Guilty.